From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. This week, four men connected to a white supremacist group were arrested and charged with rioting at last year's Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The rally turned fatal when an avowed white supremacist drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, leaving one woman dead and several other people injured. Many people might ask, what sort of person joins such groups?
People don't naturally hate other human beings. It's not something inherent in our DNA.
43-year-old Angela King spent 8 years of her youth in a South Florida hate group, and she agreed to talk to us about that experience and also about the prison encounter that turned her life around. King spoke to WLRN from her home somewhere in Central Florida. That's as specific as she'll be about exactly where she lives. Once you hear her story, perhaps you'll understand why.
I do still have the See Kyle on my the inside of my bottom lip.
See Kyle, the Nazi salute. Swastikas and other white supremacist symbols inked on King's hands, arms, back, and chest are now covered up with positive message tattoos where attempts at laser removal have failed. King grew up in several cities throughout Broward County. She says her parents were strict and tried to shelter her from bad things. And in her parents' view, minorities and homosexuality were bad.
I was raised in a household where I was taught racism and homophobia from as early as I can remember. You know, commonly hearing racial slurs, hearing, you know, jokes based on race or ethnicity or sexual identity. My mom, like most mothers, she had many sayings when I was a child. And one of them effectively was, you know, you're my daughter. I will always love you. There's nothing you could do to make me love you less except never bring home a black person or another woman.
Her mom and dad's divorce was messy. And as a child, she often felt isolated and misunderstood. She was overweight, which made her a target for bullies. One day, after facing down one of her tormentors, she felt empowered for the first time in her life. But her newfound strength found an outlet in bullying other kids.
It almost became addicting. You know, I would be ugly and argumentative, and I would start fights and pick on people. Strangely, most of the violent altercations I was involved in were with other white people and not even with all the groups that I claim to hate so much.
But that didn't matter to the white supremacist she hooked up with by this time. They welcomed her anger, no questions asked. Before long, King adopted their views about the need to spark a race war. Within the group, she was expected to indoctrinate other people, and since social media was nowhere near as prevalent as it is now, that had to be done with printed propaganda and by word of mouth.
In these types of movements, anything can be used as a prop. I was one of very few women who were involved in the violent far right at that time, and that really got others trying to leverage my willingness to be violent.
She joined the members of the group in routinely going out drinking and starting fights, but there were certain things she did not share with them. King had known for some time she was attracted to other girls, but she didn't dare tell anyone.
No one in the group knew really anything about my sexual identity. I kept it to myself. It was something I tried to bury in the back of my mind. And I tried to run as far from myself as I could possibly get.
At age 23, King ran headlong into major trouble when she and other members of the skinhead group were arrested for the robbery of a Jewish business owner. She was sentenced to 6 years in prison, and suddenly she found herself thrown in with women belonging to the very groups that she and her friends had actively hated so much.
And the fear started to creep in. You know, if I'm going to actually do time, how am I going to do time being who I am? You know, I don't have my friends anymore. I don't have any backup if there's, you know, a fight or protection. I'm on my own. So initially, the thought was I was going to spend whatever time, you know, I did serve with my back against the wall, constantly looking over my shoulder, you know, waiting to be attacked.
Then one day, King saw another inmate, a black woman, staring intently at her in the recreation yard. The woman walked toward her and asked a question.
She wanted to know if I knew how to play cribbage. My reaction essentially was, what the fuck is cribbage?
The woman brought over the cards and the board and taught King how to play. She was Jamaican, and pretty soon King found herself befriended by an entire group of Caribbean women, and given understanding where she least expected to find it.
I think the most profound gift they gave me was that they completely disarmed me with kindness and compassion. You know, my beliefs and my aggression were so abrasive and so ugly. Not many people had it within themselves to show me kindness or compassion in the face of my aggression.
But they also inspired King to do some serious thinking about the attitudes that landed her in prison.
Asking me very plainly things like, what would I have done if I met them while I was actively involved in the violent far right? And would you have called me these names, these racial slurs? Would you have tried to kill me? Those are, you know, the kind of conversations that one can't just get up and walk away from in a prison setting.
King says those discussions started her on a path that would change her life. She got out of prison early on good behavior and on a promise to cooperate with authorities and testify against other skinheads in her old group. Within months of her release, she enrolled in college and earned 3 degrees, practically back to back. Today, King is Programs Director for Life After Hate, a nonprofit for reformed extremists. The organization runs support groups for people looking to leave hate groups.
To any confused young person who is finding acceptance in these groups right now, my message is a simple one. I understand. I have been there. If you need to talk, I'm here to listen without judgment. You're not alone.
King has said that talking about her past is draining and that she'll probably be apologizing for the rest of her life. She just hopes that people hear her. This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.